Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Can you hear me okay?
Beautifully.
Okay. Our assignment from yesterday. Our definition of a subpersonality or aspect of ego is a collection of beliefs, assumptions, and projections with a unique worldview and distinct language. The assignment, take each of the descriptors from the previous assignment and begin to flesh out each I, such that you can recognize each as a distinct personality. Write down the language each uses, what they project onto others, the world, and you. And from that, get a sense of each personality's worldview, RL what you see. As you work with this, make sure you stay on topic, confining the exploration to the specifics of what you're looking at this month. Example, workaholic's worldview is work needs to come before everything else. What I do is who I am. Prioritizing work makes me the good, right person. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, hi. It's Anna from Home Firth in England.
Hello.
Hello, hi. Oh, I've really rushed to get home to call in because I've not had a chance for this week and I might not get a chance next week, so I'm a little bit sort of prepared, sort of not, but I'm really pleased.
But you're here.
I'm here. I was determined to ring. Okay. So I've just loved this so much. What I've been looking at is how I'm hearing the voice that tells me that my body is wonky and it's not perfect, and how I'm believing that and then getting sad and depressed because of that.
And is there a definition of perfect?
Yes. What it is like the other caller. For two years, it's coming up to 2 years now. I've had frozen shoulder as well. It can take a really long time. And when I first got it to begin with, I couldn't move it at all. It was really painful, and I was really depressed and really down about it. But I think because I've really quickly, just like in the last few days while we've been doing it, turned it all around in my head, and I can see it all so clearly, and I'm just loving my shoulder. It's doing really, really, really well, and I think it's just because we've been doing this year long for so long now. And my knee and my hip and my ankle, and that it's wonky, but I can see that it's wonderful and that I'm working really hard and that everything's just fine. And I've just signed up to see apparently a really great person that deals with exact like alignments. And so I'm really excited about that.
What I'm hearing in this is that all of this is requiring you to see what conditioning has been doing to you, what it says to you, what it tells you, and then requiring you to attend to the body with an attitude of appreciation and a devotion to taking care of the body and finding whatever support and aid is required to assist in that. So it's bringing you and the body closer together instead of the driving you apart that conditioning is aiming for.
Yes. And I see it when we've on day one when we had to say what is the issue for you. I was able to formulate one of the issues is that ego tells me this, and I was just really surprised that I was able to write ego tells me rather than just I feel I can.
This is what's true. Right.
Yeah.
So, that's huge, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh gosh, yeah. Because that's the movement that puts. It sounds. It's funny to think about it this way, but it it is what happens, it puts you and the body on a team against this negativity instead of that negativity coming between you and the body.
Yeah, because the body was the enemy before, like people have been saying. And it's not, it's all amazing.
Yes. And the enemy, if we're going to look at it that way, of course, is ego.
Yes.
And that's just so true across the board. That's what we get to see. I hope everybody's getting to see. Those voices train us to look at a thing, a person, a job, a body, whatever it is, and see that as our problem. That's the enemy. If that were different, then I'd be fine. And it takes us so long to realize, no, the enemy, the problem, is that voice in my head.
Yeah.
And so as you see that, then you and the body now, okay, you're on the road to healing and health and for whatever is possible, right?
Yeah.
There are a lot of things that happen with the body that, you know, it's just what happens with a form. But it doesn't mean we can't be an unconditional love.
That's right, yes. And I think that must be really powerful, because I did a little bit of my physio for my shoulder, which is like sort of hands up the back and you grasp it from the top. And I just did it earlier on today and it just did it. It just worked. And I was just like, whoa, never done it. So I was like, whoa, this is working. Keep it up. Yeah. Just whatever. Just keep it up. So it was a bit like magic. It was definitely magic. So,
right. Yeah. Well, one other connection with that. So, you know, we go to work, right? Many of us go to work. And if our work situation is such that the person we work for is just constantly beating on us, just constantly beating on us, then it's really difficult to have much enthusiasm for what we're doing. But if we're working in an atmosphere, and it doesn't matter who's on the outside, right? As long as we've got this going on the inside, we are working in an atmosphere that is positive and uplifting and fun, and where we get a lot of praise and affirmation for what we're doing, then work is fun. And the body is responding in exactly that. Oh, you're being good to me, you're being kind, you're being present, you're here. Okay, I can respond to that.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. I'm so enthusiastic, I'm so happy, and it is responding. Yes, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh.
Go happy.
All right. Go happy. Bye-bye. Thank you, everyone. Gassho, bye-bye.
Gassho.
Thanks, Anna. It really is the key to the whole deal, right, Sherry, that the conditioning is so much, the content is the issue. The circumstance is the problem. The person is what's causing my suffering. And for us to make that mental shift of, can I disidentify enough to see ego as the only process of suffering here? Mm-hmm. And that disidentification requires a certain level of surrender, right? Because it's so programmed to maintain itself that we feel a sense of, I can't let that go. Because if I let it go, the circumstance is not going to change. Or that means that somehow I'm the problem. Or that whatever that the programming is that we're in touch with that prevents us from looking at ego as the problem, ego as the problem, within quotes, or the problem maker, right? Learn in this process of practice, first of all, that ego exists. Second of all, that you're not ego. Thirdly, that I get very familiar with the ego process so I can recognize it as it's happening and then make that movement to disidentify and be prepared to let that go.
Yes.
We're not here to create and cling to beliefs. We're here to pay attention. And that is the skill that we acquire through a process of ego twitching and moaning and wailing and screaming, not to be seen or let go of. And if we can stand those sensations, we build the muscle to do that more often.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're free to do what Adam was talking about, which is I am in the place where I'm in a different process or different relationship with a person, a circumstance, or any content.
Mm-hmm. A body, the very body that I so desperately need to go around in life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now
exactly.
We're friends. Now we're pals.
Now
we're working together.
Yes, and it's the Einstein question. Is the universe hostile? It's only hostile when I'm in a hostile process of opposition.
Well,
the universe is friendly, right? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Here we go. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate from New York.
Hello, Kate.
How are you?
What are you seeing?
Well, I'm seeing so much because fitness is a huge part of my life, and about 3 weeks ago I broke my foot.
Ouch.
Yeah, and so it's become sort of this thing that I always did every single day and actually broke my foot doing it, being fit, and so now I've just had this tremendous...
Oh, my gosh. So you did it. You broke your foot in the course of your fitness activity. Oh, dear.
Yeah. But what's been so amazing is to watch how, because of awareness practice, it's been totally fine. That actually...
Ego never anticipates that sort of thing.
No, and what's so fascinating is to watch how it's actually worse for other people. Like, other people are like, oh, you must be so... Oh, this is horrible. I mean, especially people who know how active I am and, you know, this, oh, you must be, this is, you know, just on and on and on.
So depressing. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. This is horrible. It sounds like that old Chinese guy and his son and his horse, right? Maybe yes, maybe no, right?
Right.
Because people are just so programmed to, this is a tragedy, Kate. This is a tragedy. You have to feel horrible.
Right.
Actually, no.
Right. And it's just been, I mean, prior to awareness practice, it probably would have been horrible for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because you would have had nothing between you and those voices. And the voices, I mean, the people around you are the voices.
Yeah, that's right? Totally.
You can hear the programming, and it would have been inside your head.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just in people outside your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's been really just such a great workshop. I mean, it's ongoing. It's going to take 3 months to fully recover. So every day is a new workshop.
And what do you this is just for my curiosity,
sure.
Okay? So how are you approaching it? Because you're certainly not going to give up fitness because you have a broken foot. So how are you getting around that?
Well, once I had to get an operation on it to get the bones fixed. And so once my doctor gave me the okay to start doing anything, I have a little routine I do every day that I can do. So basically anything I
without
can do
without that foot.
Yeah, without the foot is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. So upper body is big in your life right now.
Upper body, stretching, core work. Actually, what's been fun is I thought to myself yesterday when I was doing my workout that I was like, man, I could make a whole catalog of things that you can do with only one foot or no foot.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I'll be quick about this because it's kind of off the subject. But so I used to build for a living, right? I build things, remodeled houses and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And often I would be working alone. And so to figure out how to do the things that I needed to do without somebody else on the other end of the board, I had these fantasies in that same way. You know, I want to write a book for people.
Right.
To all of the things that you can put together and all of the ways that you can make this work. And, of course, a lot of it is all of the ways that you can use your body that you don't ordinarily use your body because you have somebody else doing the other half of whatever it is. So I'm right there with you. It's so exciting. And I hope you'll do that, actually, to whatever degree, you know, even if it's just make a YouTube video, because there are a ton of people who are getting bunion surgeries or whatever and are convinced that, well, that's it. That's no more fitness for me for the next 3 months, 6 months, rest of my life.
Yeah. And I'd also love to do a commercial for Reflective Listening Buddies because it's been, you know, so I'd say 90% of the time I'm disidentified and able to have this experience that we've been talking about, but sometimes I'm not, especially late at night, and it's, you know, really swollen and hurting, and it's been really great to have my reflective listening buddy to talk through those times when I'm not, you know. And obviously recording and listening too, but reflective listening buddy as well. So
Well, thank you for that. That's a great reminder for all of us. That's having somebody on the other end of the board. You can have somebody on the other end of
Yes, exactly.
That's a big help. All right. Well, thank you so much. Go happy.
Thanks, Kate. Another thing that was dropping in, Sherry, I mean, we've been hearing from a lot of people who are rehabbing injury and how that impacts fitness. And the thing, and being one of those people, the thing that dropped in for me and what Kate was saying is part of what we get over is this is how it's always been, and it's not that way. So there's an adjustment process of this is how it is now, which is a letting go. And then there is a because the familiar is so effortless within quotes, including an identification with ego, that there is a process of having to pay attention, to relearn, to retrain, to spend time with this new situation until it informs a routine or a rhythm we can get into. And part of what conditioning does is interrupt that with that constant comparison of it's not the way it was, it should be that way, I don't like this. And so it interrupts the time where we are in relationship with something where it teaches us a new way of being.
And which, again, has huge application, right? This is what's now. This is what's now. What's possible?
What's possible? And
in every moment.
We were talking about this in group yesterday, that there's a way in which we have to, we've only developed receptors to pick up conditioning. And there's a way in which we have to learn to have receptors for the intelligence to talk to us. And that requires patience and a willingness to listen, which is why I think Reflective Listening Buddies is such a beautiful program in this context, because there's a that process of listening is what we are not trained in, and it's listening to ourselves first so I can talk about my experience, have that reflected back, and listen to that reflection as a process of learning.
And you know, Ashwini, when you lay that out like that, and I think about Kate's foot, and not that this is particularly true with Kate, it's true with all of us, that we tend not to listen until we are required to.
Thank God for that.
Hmm?
I said, and thank God for that.
Yes. Oh, exactly. Because otherwise, we would probably all just cruise on automatic pilot and then run into something really unfortunate and have no preparation for it at all. But this constant, okay, well, this is what we've got. What's possible here? That's the way we want to live.
Yeah, exactly. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
This is Carol from Port Townsend. Hello, Sarah. Let's see. Hi. Well, I kind of had this fake coach, and the fake coach says, okay, now you're really going to do it this time. You're really going to get a fit. You started, when we did the month on taking care of yourself, part of that was the exercise. I had something I was doing, and I'm not doing that anymore. And so the coach also says there's a right way to do it, and actually no one knows what the right way is. So if I got, a yoga instructor, some special coaching from the yoga instructor, or, physical therapist or whatever, they really don't know anything anyhow. So there's a right way to do it, and no one knows what it is. And if you don't do it right, you're going to injure yourself. So it's a circular crap.
Right. Well, and of course, I was chuckling because I know that coach. Right. And again, I hired that coach. I lived with that coach, as a matter of fact, for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And again, it's one of those things that applies with everything. So the way it showed up for me most dramatically was, okay, thank God I've got depression behind me now. Okay. All right. That's done. All right. We're good. And it's the same process, right? Well, actually, no. It's just a setup for.
It's a setup.
For what it's going to do to us next.
And then about the right way to do it. So down the line, in a week or so, we're going to be choosing our focus. And there are other people that already have a focus, so they're doing it wrong, And I'm mad at them. Eagle's mad at them. And so it's just very thorough and overlapping and pernicious. And so one thing I've done to help myself is I just made this piece of paper that says gentle on it, that I look at all the time just to remind me that it's not a crisis and to be kind to myself. And so this whole month, well, so far in this program, it's been you got to go to the gym. Yeah, and I hate going to the gym. But what I've learned from listening to other people is, I forget what I've learned, but let's see what I'm trying to say. Oh, yeah, I realized that during the day, it'd be really good for me to get up, like if I'm looking at the computer or reading. So in addition to the regular walking I do, just every couple hours, get up and go outside or even just hold my arm out from my body, for 30 seconds. And it's not like I need weights. My arms are weights, so I can just hold them out and have that kind of throughout my day as kind of, this is what I do. And it's fun and it's gentle and it's not a big deal like joining the gym.
Right, right, yes. Although, of course, a lot of this month's focus, it'd be interesting to see if there's somebody who would enjoy going to the gym, not because you need to join a gym, but just because it would be interesting to see if it's authentic Carol who doesn't want to go to the gym, or it's ego with its, keeping this whole system in place. I don't want to go to the gym. I hate going to the gym. Well, okay, but would anybody like to go? Because that would be interesting to see.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You with me?
Just to make sure that
person who says, I hate going to the gym, is actually a person and not just the voice of ego, not even as an aspect of the personality, but just flat out ego controlling your behavior. Yeah.
Right, and as I'm listening, I realize it's ego listening to your suggestion of, if they're part of me that would like to go to the gym. So
it's saying, nope.
Right, so that's ego is involved in that conversation for sure. And I guess my heart's desire is to be able to continue the activities I love as I get older and maybe even do more. So
that's right.
Yeah.
And as we look at often, that is the requirement for maintenance as we get older. We have to do more, not less, more.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone said we have to do more in order to maintain where we are now.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we might as well learn to love it, huh?
Exactly. Find a way to make it kind and make it fun. And I guess laugh at ego. That's the best. I mean, that is often seen. So, yeah.
Dancing and laughing. I think those are but those are meant to be our two primary activities.
I do a lot of dancing. It's one of my main things. Yeah. Boy, boy, right. Movement. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Carol.
Yeah, thank you, Sherry and this, Winnie. Appreciate the chance to get on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Carol.
Good to talk with you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Sherry, we have time for one more caller, so here we go.
All
next
right.
Caller, you're live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christine in Oregon.
Hello, Christine.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
Let's see. So I'm looking at balance, and so I love being active. So the dominant, well, I don't know if there's an, well, anyway, there's so much. I think mostly I love to be active. I don't know of a part of me that doesn't like to be active unless I'm just tired. But I love to move and be active. So, conditioning strongly tries to talk me out of activities that I love to do, and so that happens. So, for example, a few days ago, I had time to go swimming, and driving there, leaving work and driving to the pool on my way home. There was a lot of trying to talk me out of it, and so then I just carried on and went, and it's so wonderful. I always just love it to swim. And so I think I'm looking at, and maybe this isn't an issue, or maybe it is, I'm not sure, the balance of when I do get past the voices and get to get on my bicycle or swim or out the door mm-hmm. hiking or walking is a little easier because I just put on my shoes and walk out the door. But, bicycling or swimming is a little more getting stuff mm-hmm. ready to go. And so it's easier to be talked out of, but the balance between that, my personality or this spirit just loves, I could just be active all day. I don't really need to. Well, I like to lie down once in a while. But anyway, the balance. Because once I get to do activities, then I will. I'll do more and more and more. Like I'll do. Then I can overdo it, I guess.
Well, that's right. Uh-huh. That's when you get to lie down, right? You know, the time when you like to stop is when you're tired, and it's Yeah, I wonder about it too. Well, the first thing I wonder about, Christine, is what do the voices say to try to stop you? Do they tell you there are other things you should be doing instead of going swimming? Or do they try to convince you that you're too tired or you've done it? I mean, what kind of an argument could anybody
fall for? And I think it is that there's more important things to do. Like there's stuff, there's papers on my desk with my computer, you know, I need to fill out that form and I need to do this and then do that. And it would feel good to get those things done. And so I could just go home and do those things and feel good about that instead.
Or you could go swimming and then go home and do those things.
Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, I don't know, and you're going to keep watching because that's what you do, but it seems to mm-hmm. me that you really are onto it. I don't know, if you went swimming or went hiking or rode your bike instead of going to work, and then eventually they fire you because, you know, and now you live on your bicycle, because you know, then we would say, yeah, it sounds like you're really out of balance. But what I get from what you're saying is you are actually choosing to do what you love and what you can do. You have a body that can do all of those things, and you really enjoy it. Doesn't sound like there's any harm in it. In fact, there's just goodness for the human being. And the only thing going on is that ego wants to mess you up, wants to make you feel bad, wants to take the fun out of it, wants to control you.
Yeah, and you know, yes, exactly. And you know what else I hear that I just popped in? I hear that that I'm different, like I'm not like other people, because oftentimes it seems like most of my life I sometimes look at people and I wonder, you know, we're standing in a line. Why aren't people like moving their arms up and down or doing some squats or, you know, moving around a little? We're just standing, or maybe we're sitting and waiting. Why is everybody just sitting there? Why don't people get up and, like, you know, move a little?
Hey.
You know, I always wondered, like, what's up with
the
rest of these people? And then I'm told I need to be more like them for some reason.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to tell you that, okay?
No.
I'm not going to encourage that, because I have yet to read an article that says what people need to do is spend more time sitting at their computer, or they need to spend more time in a lounge chair watching TV. That's just not what we hear. So the conditioning I project that so many people are listening to is the conditioning that we talk about on this, in these conversations, right? Trying to control you, trying to get you out of presence. Because if there's nothing, you're standing in a line, and there's nothing going on except standing in a line, then it would probably occur to you to be doing something while you're standing in the line. But if you're standing in the line and your attention is on an imaginary world and conditioned mind where you've got problems and things you're worried about and what you have to do next, then it wouldn't occur to you to move your body.
Yeah, I guess that's what's going on with people, I guess, because
we'll never know.
I just started doing some yoga poses, and a few people were like, yeah, that sounds good, and they would join, but lots of people just didn't want to join in. I don't know why.
Yeah, we may never know, but you're enjoying yourself, and anybody who wants to join you is enjoying themselves, so, you know, maybe that's the best we've got.
Yeah. All right.
Well, thank you, Christine. That's inspiring.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody. Go
bye-bye.
Happy.
Thanks, bye. Christine. It is such an interesting thing to question, right?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we stand?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we stand on one foot like Janice while we're waiting at the dentist's office? or move our hips while we're waiting in the in line at the store to check out? It would be so much fun.
And you know, if we look around at little kids, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They don't stand in line. You have to make them stand in line.
Yeah. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the show and a weekend ahead of us. So our assignment, draw portraits of the aspect of ego you've seen. Jot down what each says, RL.
All right. Fun.
Okay.
Okay.
And,
well,
Take care.
Let's
go
happy.
And,
all right.
And we'll be broadcasting from Philadelphia, God willing, on Monday.
Oh, that's true. That's right. All right. Well, good. See you there then.
Okay.
Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.